This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Valentine's Day, it's almost here, and whether we love it, loathe it, or just quietly tolerate it, one thing always seems to be involved. That is food, chocolate, oysters, fancy dinners, takeaway, eaten straight from the container. That's my my Valentine's Day. So what is it about food and love? Is there actually science behind it, or have we just told ourselves a really good story over time? Let's find out with Associate Professor Evangeline Mantzioris from Adelaide University. Evangeline, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Valentine's Day always seems to circle back to food. We've got chocolate, champagne, romantic dinners. Why do you think food has become such a central part of how we express love on this day?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that food is always part of a celebration, right?
So, it is.
You know, once again, Valentine's Day is a big celebration for many people. So, not surprising, but there's always been that association with love and certain foods. And you've mentioned some of them. You know, there's the champagne, there's the chocolate, there's the flashy meals. For some people, it might be, you know, a home-cooked meal. But there's always certain foods that are associated with certain celebrations, and that's no different to Valentine's Day. Interestingly, when you look at other cultures, they have vastly different foods that we wouldn't even think of, such as garlic.
Oh, that's...
But maybe that proves true love, right? Like, if you're willing to stay and your breath smells of garlic, you must really love that person. But yeah, also basil and cardamom, and a really weird one, watermelon.
Oh, really?
I love watermelon, but that's a weird one, isn't it?
It is a weird one. Can we talk about, you know, the word aphrodisiac? I mean, that's thrown around a lot this time of year. Where does that idea come from, and why is it stuck for so long?
Yeah, well, look, it's an interesting word because it actually comes from the word from Aphrodite, who's the Greek goddess of love. So clearly there was an association that some foods were linked to love. So we know there's the story behind it, but what does the science say? And sometimes it's a bit disappointing what the science says, isn't it?
Chewing raw garlic an aphrodisiac?
Well, no, I don't think so. If one person eats garlic, what's the rule? Everybody has to have garlic, right? Well, it will keep away the vampires,
okay, so that's important.
But look, I mean, one of the ones that's always associated is oysters, and I think it's because they're so expensive. But for me, eating oysters, I could think it's probably the worst food I'd eat, sort of slimy, you know. Anyway, but what we know is that oysters are high in zinc, and zinc is linked to the production of a lot of the hormones. So there's a link, but by the time you've eaten the oyster and it gets into the hormones, it's quite a period of time. So it doesn't make you an instant, you know, romantic superhero or anything. The other one is chocolate. Now, everybody loves chocolate, don't they? And there's an arcade here in Adelaide that has chocolate on one side of it and a jewelry store on the other side. And I can tell you where the lineup is on Valentine's Day. There's definitely more people lining up on the chocolate side rather on the jewelry side. So I reckon that just proves it. But chocolate's an interesting one because we do know it contains things that affect your mood. And it's not only the things in it, but it's the creamy feel that you get when you eat it. And it just makes you always feel good, doesn't it? So chocolate contains relatively higher amounts of an amino acid called tryptophan. And tryptophan serves as a precursor to the serotonin. And this is the neurotransmitter that helps to regulate our mood and makes us feel happy. So there's a bit of science behind that. It also helps release endorphins, and they're the ones, once again, feel-good hormones and chemicals, but they reduce pain. So that's another good thing there. So that's why we eat it also when we have a breakup.
So it reduces the pain, makes us feel good.
It makes us feel good.
And move on to the next person.
That's right. Well, maybe not so quickly. Maybe stop and think about, you know, what you're going to go for next. But there's also caffeine in there, and caffeine makes us feel more alert. It's also got a couple of other things in there which are linked to feeling happy, euphoria, and bliss. So, you know, we all know that chocolate makes us feel good. So that's one. But once again, it's not going to change your love life, right? Mm. It just makes you feel good at the time. All of these foods that we've mentioned, you know, the oysters, the chocolate, the garlic, you know, the basil, the pomegranates, the watermelon, all of those are also all plant-based except for the oysters, of course. And they've all got phytonutrients in there that improve our health anyway. And if you're feeling better health-wise, you're always going to feel better in all aspects of your life. So there's a little bit of science to say, yeah, these foods are good for our health. They're good for our mental health. So that's important. But what we do know that aphrodisiacs are really probably just a myth.
They make us feel good. We kind of feel good. We might be more in the mood.
Maybe.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah. But it's the meaning behind the food that's probably the thing that we're thinking of and that makes us feel good more often. Foods that are associated with romance, like all the ones we've mentioned, are a little bit more indulgent. They're not everyday foods, and we tend to share them rather than eating them alone. And so it's probably the meaning behind those foods that are selected for Valentine's Day that represent how we feel and how we react to it. So, you know, you open up a bottle of champagne, it's not an everyday thing, you do it to celebrate. So it's the same thing here.
Then you eat the chocolate, then run across to the jewellery store over the road.
No, I'd rather stay in the chocolate store.
Definitely.
So the other thing that food does is it activates our brain's reward system. So remember, 10,000 years ago, it was important to eat food because it meant we survived. So the body had to tell us some way that this was good and to make us keep doing it. So when you eat, you feel good, and that meant you try to find more food so that you could survive. And it's the same thing here. It releases those pathways to make us feel happy and to continue doing it. Eating and eating particularly with other people also makes us feel more relaxed, comfortable, and it's more important for emotional connection. So we always know if there's a meeting at work, you get people at work by having food there, right? Because food brings people together. So that's the other thing, that sharing food reduces stress levels and makes people feel more emotionally open. They're more likely to talk.
I think that's a topic we should discuss one day, is food in meetings too, because I know a lot of the meetings I go to, it's a packet of sweets, lollies that are open. But we'll get to that.
Next time. Might be some sad office places, though, if you're going to that too much. So shared meals matter. There's better communication, greater emotional closeness. They always talk about families that eat together stay together. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the same for couples. So having a time where you put away all the electronic devices, you sit and share a meal and talk about all your problems is really important, not just for romantic relationships, but for families and friends. So, you know, that's the big thing for Valentine's Day and going forward.
So sharing a meal really strengthens the bonds between us as such, because we're relaxed, we open up and we talk to each other.
Absolutely. And importantly, remember how we used to say back in the 80s and 90s, turn off the TV and don't eat with the TV on?
Yes. My parents never let me eat with the TV on. We had to put, there were no phones to put away, but we had to put everything away and sit at the table.
Exactly. And so people need to think about that with electronic devices now, about putting them away and not being interrupted.
Evangeline, so for some people, food really does function as a love language. How can preparing food for someone communicate care and connection as well?
It is. For some people, food is the big love language, isn't it? So you might recognise this, that when someone's tired or when they're sick, they'll cook a special meal for you to make you feel better. Other things might be family recipes that get passed down generations, you know. And as we've already said, food always appears whether we're celebrating, whether we're sad, sick, we're happy, it's always there. So it represents the time that people put into preparing, cooking the meal for you that is really important. And I think more than ever, time is such a valuable resource, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And if people are willing to put the time in to cook you a meal that represents a level of, you know, love, and we talk about love in all aspects, you know, family, friendship, love, the whole lot.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Evangeline Mantzioros from Adelaide University about why food and Valentine's Day go hand in hand and why it's really about connection. Evangeline, I'm just thinking Valentine's Day can put a lot of pressure on people to plan something big or expensive. But from what we know and from what we're discussing today, what actually matters most when food is involved is that connection. It's, we don't have to go expensive. We don't need to go and buy that expensive bunch of flowers, for example.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's just the time spent together and the time that goes into preparing it that's important. So, you know, whilst we talk about chocolate and there's a whole lot of different grades of chocolate, I would be happy with just the Twirl bar because that's my favourite chocolate, Cadbury's. We shouldn't promote anything, but that's my favourite bar. So it doesn't need to be the expensive stuff. If you know what that special person likes, then that's the thing to do. And you know, and sometimes like fish and chips at the beach far outweighs an expensive meal at a restaurant, doesn't it?
Absolutely, I agree with you. Now, not everyone does celebrate Valentine's Day. A lot of people are single as well, and we shouldn't forget people who are single because you know, they might not be celebrating Valentine's Day. I mean, food can also be good in terms of for your own mental health as well, can't it? Taking the time to prepare something healthy.
Yeah I mean it one side is that you're preparing healthy food. Two is that you're getting a sense of achievement that you've cooked your own meal, maybe learned a new cooking skill. And now it's so easy to learn new cooking skills by just going and watching videos of how people prepare things. So that's another thing, you know, maybe going, okay, I've always wanted to eat this, I'm going to try making it and, you know, looking up videos. It might be just going out with a bunch of friends.
I agree.
And, you know, it doesn't, or, you know, with family members, you know, going to see your mum or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa and sharing a meal with them as well. Yeah.
We've got some SMS messages coming in. Karen in Preston says, this actually made me feel better about Valentine's Day. we're doing takeaway and Netflix and now I don't feel lazy about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing you love the most is the best thing to do.
Absolutely. Mark in St Kilda says, love this take. Food isn't magic. It's the sitting down together that matters. Phones away is the hardest bit, though.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always these rules at restaurants that the first person that picks up their phone picks up the tab for the whole group. Maybe it's the first person that picks up their phone at home has to do the dishes.
Damo says, I feel seen fish and chips on the couch with my partner, and that's perfect. There you
Absolutely.
Go, Evangeline.
My other favourite thing is picnics outside.
Oh, what a great idea. This one from Renee in Elwood says, Valentine's Day stresses me out every year. Now I feel more inclusive and a lot less pressure.
Excellent.
There you go. And one more from Chris saying, eating together without scrolling feels rare now.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Well, now that we know the benefits, we can start doing it more often. Evangeline, we hope you enjoy your twirl bar on Valentine's Day.
Huge hint to Paul Ryan.
He's got it easy. I hope he's listening.
I hope so too.
Thank you so much for chatting with us and we'll chat to you next time.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Associate Professor Evangeline Mantzioros from Adelaide University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.